Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Here on the Daily Dub, presented by BetMGM, I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser, and for Jenks today. Coming up, we'll give you all of our plays for Monday Night Football. I understand the Cowboys and the Raiders don't really move the needle for a lot of us, but the total in this game is 50. And if you like to bet on props like I do, this could be a pretty profitable game if this game lines up according to what we've seen from these defenses over the course of the season. So I've got some plays. It's 7:20. We go on to college football. Our biggest takeaways from some of the upsets over the weekend and some of the big wins in some of these massive top 25 matchups. So PJ, last night as I'm watching Sunday Night Football, they always have the same intro where it's waiting all day for Sunday night. And you're like, you know what, Carrie? You're actually right. The Eagles and the Lions, pretty good game. But if tonight's game was that same thing, we were like, waiting all day for Monday night, you'd be like, I don't know about that. The Cowboys and the Raiders, this is not exactly a game where ESPN's like, come on, like this is one of those games where people know they need us in their life. I understand the YouTube TV dispute is over. But how do you spin this game? Do you say, okay, there's going to be a lot of great props in this game? Because I will say this, if I'm going to watch bad football, I want to at least watch bad football where there's a lot of touchdowns scored.
Yeah, I mean, you got two options, right? Like, this is why we gamble. This is why we sports bet for nights like this and games like this, to keep us interested, to keep us intrigued. Or this is the night where, like, you take your girlfriend or your wife out and you tell her, like, football's on, but you're more important. We can go out to dinner tonight, something like that, right? It's that it's that kind of game. Like, it's similar to, like, Patriots-Jets on Thursday. So you could try and swing, like, two games in 1 week if you are in the next, like, in the four-day span if you want. But yeah, this one's going to be tough. Because both defenses are so bad, maybe it actually turns out to be a pretty good game. Geno Smith has just been so bad this year for Vegas. I was really high coming into the season on the Raiders, Chelsea, because, you know, Pete Carroll's obviously a really good coach and had so many successful years with USC in college and then with the Seahawks in the NFL. And for a guy at his age, you know, I mean, he could have stayed in retirement. And I was like, why would Pete Carroll come off the couch to win like five or six games, right? Like, he would come back if he thought he had a legit chance to win. They trade for his former quarterback. They get Genty. You got Crosby and Wilkins and some pieces on that defensive line. And it has been a really, really bad year for the Raiders. So, you know, this is one of those games where an offense as bad as they've been, you're going up against a defense that hasn't been very good. So can they make plays? And then on the flip side, Dallas's offense has been really fun this season, and especially when they've had all their pieces and they're fully healthy, they can put up a ton of points. So maybe this game does end up being pretty high scoring. Like you said, the total is 50.5, and anytime the Cowboys are involved, they're a great over team with how good their offense is and how bad their defense is. But yeah, I don't have too many expectations for this game, but I'm interested to see I think more than anything, how Geno Smith plays against this Dallas defense, because it's like, if he can't put up some numbers against this defense at home, it's, I don't know, like, how many more games Geno is going to play well this season for the Raiders.
Right. And here's the thing, like, they've played some bad defenses. Like, they played the Commanders and they lost 41-24 earlier in the season, lost to the Jags, even though that was an overtime loss. So I don't know, but I will say this. I do think in the betting space, sometimes it's great when a team faces a really tough defensive matchup and then they turn around and face a really easy defensive matchup, because you look at some of the Raiders numbers, for some of their offensive players, and you're like, whoa, what happened last game? Like, Brock Bowers had what, one catch for, let's see, 31 yards in that last game against the Broncos. Well, the Broncos are one of the best defenses in the NFL, so maybe it's one of those spots where you can get a lower number on Brock Bowers, because I do think he's one of the many players that could get their receiving props tonight. But before we go any further, I didn't ask you, do you like a side in this game?
You know, if I had to bet it, I think I probably will, now that we're at 3.5. I think I would lean towards Vegas. I just can't lay 3.5 on the road with Dallas with that defense. You know, like, their offense is more than capable of covering that number. But the Raiders, you know, they have played people tough at home this year. You mentioned the overtime game against the Jags last week. The Bears game came down to the wire. They've played some people close at home. So I think both of these teams coming off a bye week, Dallas going to Vegas, having the extra week, like, is there any distractions maybe whenever you go on the road in Vegas potentially? I'm leaning towards the Raiders. It might be like a half unit play for me, so I have some investment on the game, but I was leaning that direction just because when you got a defense like Dallas's and you know, you're getting a home dog at +3.5, tend to lean in that direction.
Well, I think for me, at the end of the day, it's like, it feels like Dallas is not a trustworthy favorite, because if you look at them in their last four games as favorites, they've lost three of those outright. So they just have not been a team that's worth being favored in a lot of these games. A lot of these lines have been tight, so they continue to lose as favorites. This is a road game. But again, you look at the Raiders, who have been underdogs in a lot of these situations, and boy, have they continued to lose games. So I don't know. It's one of those where I feel like I'm not going to be picking a side, because when you bet on, like, a bad team and both teams are bad, like, at the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror and be like, hey, I put my hard-earned money on the Las Vegas Raiders. And then, you know, you see a terrible performance, you're like, well, what did you expect? They're the Raiders. And you could say the same thing about the Cowboys, where if you bet on the Cowboys and you look in the mirror, you're like, why did I put my money on this team? And that's why you don't bet on sides when it comes to really bad teams. But I will say this, I do think you could probably make a strong case for the over, because both of these defenses are so bad. But the question mark for me is Geno Smith. Like, can he get it going even against a bad defense? Because I do think that we should see something good from Dak Prescott here, because he has put up some decent numbers this year, even against some better defenses. At least they're going to score points, at least in garbage time. So I have no questions about Dallas scoring points. But I think Las Vegas is maybe the sabotage factor when it comes to the over.
They definitely could be. The total at 50, Chelsea, I don't really have a good thought on that. I'll probably stay away from the total. Like I said, maybe a small play on the Raiders +3.5 potentially as well. I might look at like a first quarter bet on Vegas also when, you know, you got two teams coming off a bye like you do in this game, and it's a primetime game, and you're going up against the Cowboys. I do think the Raiders come out with a bunch of energy, and I could see them getting off to a nice start. So I might take Vegas in the first quarter as well at +120. But yeah, it's a tough game. It's a tough game to handicap. Feels like the number's right. It feels like it's probably going to be close, probably going to come down to like a field goal game. But I think the points you bring up about Dallas not being a trustworthy favorite is a really good one. And I think the only game that they did win in that span was that overtime game against the Giants when Russell Wilson threw 455 yards, right? So it's like, even the only game they did win, they probably shouldn't have, and they got shredded on defense. So yeah, I mean, look, you're getting Dallas as a favorite, and not only are you getting them as a favorite, I mean, it's the ultimate number in football, right? In the NFL, it's that 3.5. Mm-hmm. So I think the Raiders probably the side in the game, +3.5.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to play a side or a total in this game, but I do think there are a lot of great props to consider. So let's start with receiving props, because it does feel like, even though these are two bad teams, we have some good offensive weapons that are going to be taking the field in this game. So let's start with CeeDee Lamb, because I do think if you're looking for like a blue chip stock, it is CeeDee Lamb. He feels like he has the lowest or the highest floor of any of these teams. You could also probably say he has the highest ceiling. Because you look at his game logs this year, in games that he's been healthy, 9 catches for 112, 5 catches for 110, 7 catches for 74, and 7 catches for 85. So even in his bad games, like, the floor is still pretty high for him, but you are going to pay a premium like you do on blue chip stocks. So his receiving prop tonight, 89.5 for the yardage, juicy over at minus 115. But the catches is only 6.5. It's a little juicy at minus 145. I know some people don't love laying that juice. But here's the thing. Like, the targets have always been there. He's had 12, 10, 8, and 11 targets this year. So even when he doesn't catch all of them, we know that Dak Prescott loves throwing to CeeDee Lamb. So I do think if you want somebody that maybe he doesn't get it just because, you know, these numbers are high, but it does feel like he's not going to be far off. So I think if you're ranking, like, you know, the safest bets, it feels like CeeDee Lamb's up there.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a game where CeeDee, you know, could have a big day. I think I'd probably look at the receiving yardage number more so than the receptions, just because, like you said, I mean, it is juiced so heavily at minus 145. So I don't really want to lay that many juice for him to get 7 receptions. I think the receiving yard number would be a good one. And maybe look at some alts for Lamb. You know, him at 100 plus is plus 140, and this is definitely a defense where he could go off. I'm actually looking at the opposite, because the Cowboys have been the worst team in the NFL this year against opposing wide receivers. But the problem is, we know outside of Brock Bowers, the Raiders don't really have many receiving options. So you're like, is this going to be a Trey Tucker game? Is this even going to be like a Tyler Lockett game? Like, could he make some plays potentially? Are they going to try and use Jenty more as a wide receiver and get him involved that way? I think Trey Tucker's probably the guy that I would look at tonight, though, for Vegas. His receiving number is at 46.5. I mean, Dallas is obviously going to do everything they can to try and take away Brock Bowers. I still think he's going to have a big game for the Raiders, but his receiving number, Chelsea, 72.5, and the over's juice minus 140. Like, there's just really no value there for Bowers. So I think either looking at Lockett or Tucker tonight for the Raiders, probably the way to go. And I think Tucker would probably be the guy. So if I were to take a receiving number tonight, just because of how bad Dallas has been against opposing wide receivers, I'd probably look at Trey Tucker.
Yeah, I think if you follow the grid where it's like fantasy points against, the Cowboys, like you mentioned, have given up the most fantasy points and receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. But I feel like when you have a tight end that almost, I know schematically it is different, but usually, you know, when you have somebody like Brock Bowers, wouldn't you still target him like kind of in the same range as like a number one receiver, just because he's the best player on the field for Las Vegas? So I think there is a reason why we see some of these props so high for Brock Bowers, because like 72.5 is the number tonight. His season average is 63. So, like, this is well above, you know, what we've seen for the season. But oddsmakers are expecting, you know, a bunch of points in this one. But I don't know. Last game, Tyler Lockett surprisingly had the most targets of any Raider. Had 6 targets. I think he was, like, fresh off the waiver wire or whatever it was. I think he came over from the Titans. Didn't even have that much time to practice with the Raiders. But he got the most targets, 5 catches for 44 yards. But do we trust this moving forward? Like, I don't look at Tyler Lockett and be like, oh, yeah, he's been revived into a number one receiver.
No, I don't think so. And again, it's all matchup dependent, right? So, like, the Jags, that's a favorable matchup. Obviously, tonight, Dallas. But, like, we saw a couple weeks ago when the Raiders went up against Kansas City and they got shut out. I mean, it's all about Geno. And it's all about if he's comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's all about if he's going to put up yards and he's going to move the football. So if he has favorable matchups like tonight, yeah, then I think Tyler Lockett definitely could be a look. But if playing in the AFC West there, especially when you have to go up against Denver, the Chargers, and the Chiefs, Chelsea, those three teams are the three best right now in the NFL against posing wide receivers in terms of fantasy, or all the three teams in their division. So that's a big part, too, of why Geno has struggled. He's obviously had to play those teams this season, but I think it's all matchup dependent. So yeah, Lockett, like, this might be one of the few good games to maybe target him tonight in some props. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb. George Pickens, I think, could be interesting tonight, too. He's actually been really consistent for Dallas. And when Lamb was out is when he had his biggest games, and he hasn't caught a touchdown since Lamb has returned to the lineup. But he did have 7 catches for 78 yards against Denver. He did have 6 catches for 79 yards against Arizona. So Pickens has been really, really consistent this year for Dallas. And again, because the numbers are so juiced with Lamb in terms of his receptions and his receiving numbers at 89.5. I mean, Pickens is at 65.5. So Ferguson's production has dropped off a little bit with Lamb returning, but Pickens has stayed pretty consistent. So I think Pickens, probably if I was targeting a Cowboys receiver tonight, would be the guy that I would go with.
I feel like my brain always goes to longest reception for George Pickens, because he does feel like he is that big catch guy. 23.5 is the number. And I understand, like, some of these feel easy, but a lot of it is based on, like, field position. But I will say this. He's gone over this in 3 games, has not gone over in the last 2. But again, I think we're going to see a lot of back and forth action. So maybe something worth adding to the card, because I do think we see fireworks tonight between both these teams. Coming up next, speaking of fireworks, what a weekend it was in college football. We recap the best of it after the break on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get it going. If you're feeling sleepy, it's time to wake up, because we have college football to react to. What a weekend it was in the college ranks. I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser, and for Jenks. And I'm looking at these games. I'm even thinking, like, where do we even start? Like, do we go chronologically? Do we go like in the game that we felt that was like the best? Because I thought coming into the weekend that like the best game was going to be Georgia and Texas, but that game wasn't even that good. Like Georgia won that one 35-10. I'm sure, you know, there's a bunch of takeaways and we'll get to it. But like Oklahoma and Alabama, that was so good. The Texas A&M game, you know, incredible comeback from the Aggies to stay undefeated at 10-0. So PJ, let me ask you, what did you think was the best game of the weekend?
Man, I mean, it's hard not to go with the A&M South Carolina game just because of that comeback. Chelsea, I was at a wedding on Saturday.
Same.
So I obviously okay. So we probably couldn't watch as much college football as we wanted to, right? But A&M in South Carolina, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and they were like, oh my God, A&M, they came back to win that game? Like, before the service started, it was like, how did they come back to win that game? So it was one of those where, like, you know, you turn your phone off and then you come back and you're like, they came back to win that game? So I think that's the best one because they looked so dead in the first half. Everything was going wrong. South Carolina was playing out of their mind. And for them to just outscore them 28-0 was incredible. So I think A&M South Carolina was the best game of the day. That was pretty awesome and a great comeback for them. And a game that meant a lot because obviously now A&M pretty much punches their ticket to the college football playoff. So I think it would probably be that one. I mentioned earlier the Navy South Florida game. Was a good one too, 41-38. That was a back and forth game. Navy pretty much led the entire way. South Florida came back. They gave them their best shot. Those are probably the two that stood out. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be, I think, A&M. That comeback and how dead they looked in the first half for them to win that game, pretty impressive.
I think we were getting ready for the wedding as we had that on, and I was like trying to do my makeup, and I kept like coming back. I'm like, did they score again? Oh my goodness, this game's getting close. And we were both like so disappointed because we were in Florida and you can't bet in the state of Florida, which was terrible because like we were both thinking, we're like, all right, let's see what the money line price is. Location restricted. So that sucked. But it was a great game. And my husband and I were having this conversation. Do you think that, honestly, I look at Texas A&M and I feel like they probably could have lost that game. But a lot more would be riding on their final game this season against Texas. Obviously, that is a rivalry game. Texas, I don't know, after this weekend, maybe they're not that good. But do you think if Texas A&M would have lost that game, do you think it would have mattered in the long run?
I don't think so, because I think the magic number if you're an SEC or Big Ten team is 10 wins. I think if you play in those two leagues and you get to 10 wins, I think that's the magic number. So, you know, even if they lost 9-1, they get Samford this week, they're going to win that game to get their 10th win. So I think they would have been okay. They maybe had to sweat it out and would have been like a 10 or an 11 seed, but if you get to 10 wins and you're an SEC team, especially with that win they had against Notre Dame and how that has aged here ever since the start that the Irish got off to, I mean, you could argue that that might be the best win of the entire season that anybody has had, was A&M going on the road and beating the Irish in South Bend. So because they have that, they're in the SEC, 10-win team, I think they would have been okay. But, I mean, now they're more than good. I think the interesting conversation is with the other Texas team and the Longhorns, because Chelsea, there are some people that still feel like Texas is in it. And if they beat undefeated A&M the final week of the regular season, then maybe they should be in the playoff, because even though they're a three-loss team, one of those losses was to Ohio State all the way back in week one. And that was one of the big talking points at the beginning of the year when we saw how great that week one slate was. And we saw Texas, Ohio State, and Clemson, LSU that we thought at the time would be really good. And then Notre Dame, Miami. And it's like, we have three top 10 matchups. Somebody has to lose. Pretty much all these teams play in tough conferences. Like, they shouldn't get penalized for playing these tough games. I mean, that's going to get tested, right? That theory. Like, if Texas's two of their losses are at Georgia and at Ohio State, nobody's going to blame them for that. And then if they beat undefeated A&M, I mean, there is a case, But I think Texas needs some help. I think they need some chaos. Like, I think they need Auburn to beat Bama. I think they need Georgia to beat Georgia Tech. Like, they need some other things to happen. They maybe need Notre Dame to lose again, potentially. So I think there's some other things that Texas needs to fall their way. Probably need Oklahoma to lose again, because they do have the head-to-head, and if the Sooners have three losses, Texas is that talking point. So I don't think Texas is totally dead. And I think it's great for them that A&M won this game, so that A&M is going to be undefeated when they play them. But I think that is another one of these big talking points coming out of this past week, was even losing to Georgia, does Texas still have a shot to make it in with three losses?
I think they still do, just simply because the committee has like stood firm that they don't want to punish people for scheduling tough games. And I understand Georgia's not a non-conference, but I think that they don't want to penalize these teams for, you know, losing these really tough matchups, especially on the road, because like that, you look at Texas and that kind of fits the bill with Ohio State and with Georgia. But let's go back to Texas A&M for a second. Allow me to be a hater, because there are some haters of Texas A&M across the college football landscape who look at Texas A&M's schedule and they say, okay, you know, they have 10 wins. They're undefeated. They're an SEC team. But they haven't had to play Alabama. They haven't had to play Georgia. And like some of these SEC teams, they're SEC teams, but they're certainly not the cream of the crop. Do you think those people have a point where you look at Texas A&M's schedule and like they do have the great win over Notre Dame on the road, 41-40. They've had this come from behind win, but like some of these opponents on their schedule that were supposed to be hard, like going on the road to LSU doesn't really mean the same thing as it would have, you know, coming into this season. So I don't know. I look at their schedule and I think maybe these people have a point, but at the end of the day, they're undefeated.
I mean, when the new rankings come out tomorrow, the top 10 teams in the SEC outside of A&M are going to be Georgia, they haven't played, Ole Miss, they haven't played, Oklahoma, they haven't played, and Alabama, I still think is going to be in the top 10, who they haven't played, right? So all the other top 10 teams in the league, Chelsea, they haven't played. So I think it is a fair point. Again, the Notre Dame win is a really good one. Yeah, I have to give them credit for that. Even though LSU isn't very good, they had two losses. Their season was on the line. It's a night game in Death Valley that's still an extremely tough place to play. They went in there and took care of business. I think A&M's a really good team. Would I bet them to win the national championship, though? I wouldn't. And to be honest with you, Chelsea, if I was an A&M fan, I would actually want to see them lose, like, either to Texas or in the SEC championship game, because I do not think you want to go into the playoff as an undefeated team. I don't see them going 15-0 and winning the national championship. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, in this era of college football, I think you have to be like a borderline generational team to do that. Like, you got to be Joe Burrow's LSU team or one of those great Saban Bama teams, right? Like, that was my problem with Oregon last year. Oregon was a great team. They were the number one team in the country, and they should have been, but they were undefeated. And I was like, is this Oregon team really good enough to beat three more top 10 teams, go undefeated, not have any losses? And that's why I wasn't a believer in the Ducks. I just didn't think they could do that. So, like, you know, if you're a fan of like Indiana or like A&M, I think you kind of almost want your team to like lose a game in the championship before they get to the playoff, because I don't think either of those teams, I think Ohio State's the only one that's good enough to go undefeated this season and win the whole thing. I don't think A&M or Indiana are capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think really the only like, you know, negative about Ohio State I can say this year is that it just doesn't feel like they've faced a lot of adversity. Like, you talk about teams going into the college football playoff not losing games. Ohio State hasn't even struggled. So it's one of those things where I wonder what the mentality is going to be if they find themselves down in a game for the first time in the college football playoff when all the pressure is on. But still, if that's the only problem you have with the team, you're doing something pretty right, which feels like the case for Ohio State. So, PJ, you went to Alabama. So I want to ask you about Oklahoma's upset over Alabama, 23-21 final score. I think going into this game, a lot of people thought this would be a bad matchup for Alabama, and it just was. So what do you take away from this game? Do you say, okay, Alabama just hopefully does not face somebody like Oklahoma in the playoff if they get there? Or do you say there are real problems when it comes to Alabama?
So I think Oklahoma is a good team, but I also think they are fraudulent. And the way that they win games is the formula that they used against Tennessee and Alabama, and that's turnovers. They forced 3 turnovers against Tennessee, and they forced 3 turnovers against Bama, and they had a defensive touchdown in each of those games, and they beat Tennessee by 6, and they beat Bama by 2. So those were the difference in the games. You know, when they stepped up and they played Ole Miss and they played Texas, they didn't force turnovers in those games, and they didn't win those games. So it's really that simple. Oklahoma's defense is the best in the SEC, and it's one of the best in college football. They are a terrific defense, but outside of the Bama and Tennessee game, like, they really haven't forced a lot of turnovers this season. So that was my talking point all week. You know, I got friends texting me, what do you think about the game? And I'm like, it's real simple. If Bama doesn't turn the ball over, they're going to win. If they do, they're probably going to lose. And they lost the turnover battle 3-0, and they were still only lost by 2, and they had their chances to win that game. So as great of a win as it was for Oklahoma, and you're going to hear this week at, oh, they're peaking at the right time, 2 great road wins at Tennessee, at Bama, they got a championship defense, all these sorts of things, I still think they're a little bit of a fraud. Like, I still have my questions about that offense. I still don't think they're very good. And when their defense isn't forcing turnovers, and especially not scoring touchdowns, I think they're going to have a really tough time beating some of the top teams in college football. So, look, their last 2 games are against Missouri and LSU at home. They win those 2 games, which I think they will. They're going to be in the playoff. But when they get to the playoff, Chelsea, and they got to face some of these top teams in the country, and they're not forcing turnovers, I don't see Oklahoma winning some of these games and beating some of these top teams. So that was my big takeaway. I still think Alabama's the better team. I think if they played again, they'd beat them. It was just on that day, Oklahoma forced turnovers. They got 3 of them. They scored a pick 6, and that's why they won the game. So that's the formula for Oklahoma. If their defense can continue to force turnovers, they can beat good teams. If they can't, then they won't be able to beat good teams.
I think I understand the point that you're trying to make, is that turnovers sometimes can be like volatile and maybe not a predictor that you can count on, like, you know, consistently. But you do look at this defense, and I do think some of it is because the defense brings so much pressure. Like, they had 4 sacks against Alabama in that game. And, like, we've seen it all season long that this is schematically a great defense. And especially if you're talking about a team that'll probably have to go on the road in the college football playoff, I do feel like defense travels. And I do think that goes in the pros category when you're talking about Oklahoma. And there was a time where we were talking about John Mateer as one of the front runners for Heisman. So I do think that there is a reason why some people will still be high on Oklahoma just as a value play. But again, I think a lot of it, similar to Alabama, I think will be like matchup dependent. It really depends on who they face.
And, you know, I mean, since Mateer returned from the hand injury against Texas, he hasn't thrown more than 223 passing yards in any game. So they're just not getting that passing game that they were hoping they would get from Mateer, especially since the injury. So, like you said, that defense is really good. I mean, Oklahoma's defense is elite. That's what Venables does. I mean, he was an awesome defensive coordinator at Clemson. He had great defenses, and he's brought that over to Oklahoma. I just that offense, I don't see them, you know, being able to put up good points against really good defenses and good teams. So Oklahoma's put themselves in a great spot. They're 8-2. Their last 2 games are at home. They're going to be big favorites over a touchdown against Missouri and LSU. They should win both of those games. But again, if they don't force any turnovers against Missouri and LSU, that offense just isn't really going to put up a lot of points. And Missouri and LSU do have good defenses. So I think those games could be tricky. And because they did force 3 turnovers against Bama and Tennessee, you would expect the regression to hit at some point. So I think Missouri could be a nice underdog bet this week against Oklahoma. And I think LSU might be worth a look too, potentially against the Sooners.
Let me ask you this quickly, because we only have like 30 seconds left. Did your opinion change about Georgia at all over the weekend? Like, I had a pretty high opinion of Georgia going into the weekend. I don't think anything's changed for me.
No, I think it was more about Texas. Sark in these big games at Texas just is not, you know, and he hasn't figured out Georgia. He lost them twice last year and obviously again on Saturday. So No, I'm with you. No real opinion change. Just more about I expect Texas to play better, and they did not.
I felt like Texas would have had to play a perfect game to keep up with Georgia, and they did not, in fact, play a perfect game. All right, coming up next, more NFL reactions. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we are off. We're rolling. It is a Monday. It is November 17th. In mere moments, we'll continue reacting to what we saw in the NFL, including one of the games that I was honestly a little disappointed that I woke up early for. So PJ Glasser in for Jenks, because Jenks was overseas covering this game between the Commanders and the Dolphins. And I think where Jenks and the Commanders media team went over there to cover this game for a whole week. So they have all this buildup and all this hype for the Commanders and the Dolphins in Madrid, only to watch one of the worst games of football I feel like I've seen in a while. Like, when it came to scoring in the red zone, both of these teams, it just felt like, you know, that meme of Kevin from The Office just, like, dropping the chili all over the floor. Like, nobody could score. So, PJ, I don't know if you woke up early to watch this game, but I did. And it was just instant regret. As somebody who had the over, this was an incredibly frustrating game to watch.
Oh, I woke up, Chelsea. This was one of my favorite plays from Sunday. It was Washington plus 2.5, and it was just an absolute heartbreaker. Because look, I mean, people know in the NFL, right? It's the same, buy low, sell high. And like, I immediately circled this game because the Dolphins were coming off that huge upset against the Bills, so they were riding high. It was time to sell on Miami after that big upset, and all Washington's done in their last four games has gotten just smoked by people. They lost by 22 to Dallas, 21 to KC, 24 to Seattle, 22 to Detroit. So they've been playing some of the top offenses in the league, some of the top teams in the league. Obviously, they've been dealing with Jaden's injury. So the recency bias of how Washington's looked with the upset that Miami had against the Bills, I just thought this was a perfect combination of people are going to be way too high on the Dolphins. I thought 2.5 was too many points. I thought the game should have been close to a pick 'em. So I liked Washington. I felt like they were the right side in the game. They had plenty of opportunities to try and win it, and they just couldn't get it done. The muffed punt and then the missed. I know it was a longer field goal towards the end of regulation, but you missed that. And then Mariota throwing the interception in overtime. It was brutal for people who had Washington like me. And then the over. I mean, Chelsea, for you, like you said, both teams were moving the ball, and then they get inside the five, and they forget how to play football. It was brutal. So the over was a bad beat. Washington was a bad beat. That was a tough way to start the day. That's always the risk when you bet the international game to start your day, is when you like a play like we both did, where you love the over and I love Washington and they lose. It's just like, oh, not the way you wanted to start the early slate on an NFL Sunday. So it was a tough way to start the day.
It's my own fault for betting on an international game, because usually I stay away from these for that reason. I say there's always chaos in these international games. Like, you know, the schedule is weird and the travel, it just kind of throws a kink in things. But, like, it's not like they weren't moving the football. Like, that is the most frustrating part about this entire game, that every time they're in the red zone, you're like, okay, here we go, 7 more. Let's get the calculator out and see how many more touchdowns they need for me to hit this over. I wanted to bring in Denton here because we know Denton covers the team as well. Denton, do you have any good takeaways from this game for the Commanders? Like, I guess their defense was better, but you watch that game and you try to pat somebody on the back after, number one, a loss, and number two, the offensive atrocities that went down in the end zone. Like, what's your takeaway here?
Great takeaway, Chelsea. They lost the game, won the Reuben Bain sweepstakes, or at least got a win in the Reuben Bain sweepstakes. I mean, this is where the team is at. I didn't think they were going to go win that football game. I was a little upset that it was as close as it was. PJ got that at 2.5. I got it at 3, apparently. I thought I got it at 2.5. I got it at 3. So I pushed on that one because I had Miami. Nice. But this is just what Washington is. They're not great offensively. They're vanilla. They're boring. They're bland. And they were playing a quarterback that is not the most intelligent in the world. If Tua was an average quarterback, the Miami Dolphins would have won that game by probably 2 scores.
I think I was watching this game at certain moments, and you're like, what is Tua doing? Like, I think there was one play where he was, like, scrambling around in the pocket, and then he, like, pointed to somebody, and, like, half a second later, he just gets sacked.
Like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
Tua's a tough watch.
He is a tough watch. And it's, you know, obviously going to Alabama, I got a chance to watch him a lot. I thought he was going to be so good in the pros, and it's just it's wild to watch him now. And I know he's obviously had some injuries and some concussions and everything, but he is a tough watch. And it's brutal, and it's a brutal situation the Dolphins are in, where they're clearly not good. They got to move on from the head coach. They got to revamp the roster. They got to get way better on both lines of scrimmage. But they paid Tua all this money, and they're kind of stuck with them, and they're trying to make it work. And he's just, I mean, it's obvious to everybody, they're just not going to win anything of significance with him. And yeah, he was just, he made some interesting decisions yesterday. So yeah, both teams, I mean, like Denton said, right now, I guess for Washington, their season has definitely turned to the point where it's like you're just rooting for losses. You're rooting for the higher draft picks. And luckily for them, you know, they still got Denver on the schedule, and they still got to play Philadelphia twice. So now the team hits the bye week, and Denton, do we know what's up with Jaden? Like, do they expect him or Terry to be back coming out of the bye, or what's the situation with those guys?
Terry, there's optimism. I mean, he was there in Spain, which they did not travel. Mm-hmm. Jaden, they usually don't travel injured, you know, guys overseas, but Terry was there in Spain, so there's optimism that he's going to be back. We'll see about Jaden. He's not on injured reserve, so theoretically he could come back after the bye week, assuming that the elbow is good and taken care of and healthy. It just then becomes a question of, do they actually want to bring him back at that point? I mean, they're 3-8. This season is donezo. There's so many good teams in the NFC. You're not going to win the division because Philadelphia, as boring as they are, they keep winning. So I don't know what would be the reason to bring him back other than just for pride. And pride comes before the fall. You gotta make sure you're avoiding that.
I think I have one more question I want to ask before we move away from this super depressing game. Is that you look at the Dolphins, and like we were saying this about the Commanders, is that they really don't have anything to play for. But I think from a betting standpoint, you look at some of these teams, and honestly, I feel like Mike McDaniel has had several instances where he's trying to get fired, but yet they've won two games in a row. And I understand, like, LOL, a two-game win streak, but I think just it just goes to show that you can't bet against a team simply because they have no reason to win. Like, do you think that you look at some of these teams, you're like, why would they win? But, like, sometimes they do. It just makes betting that much more difficult.
It definitely does. I mean, look, like, usually the players aren't trying to tank and the coaches are trying to tank, but the front offices are, right? It's that old saying. So it's a key part of handicap in the NFL, especially this time of the year, now that we're starting to get towards the end of November and December, when these teams have an idea of whether or not they're going to miss the playoff, whether they have a chance to make the playoff. And motivation definitely plays a factor, especially for some of these teams that probably are going to be making a head coaching change at the end of the year. So Dolphins are definitely a team to watch how they play. I think Atlanta is a team to keep an eye on. I mean, they just continue to have brutal second straight week. They had another overtime loss, the Falcons, after a one-point loss against New England. So how much more does Atlanta have left in the tank? And then I think Cincinnati is the other team, Chelsea. You know, they were hoping to win yesterday's game, and they were hoping to kind of stay competitive in that division for when Joe Burrow comes back and maybe make a run at the playoffs, but their season's just about over too. So Miami, Atlanta, Cincinnati, I think these are all kind of teams to watch moving forward, and like, what their motivation level is, how hard are they trying? Because we do see it every year in the NFL. I mean, there are a couple games where you just turn on the TV, you watch, and you're like, this team is quit. Like, they're just not even trying anymore. So, yeah, the Dolphins, I don't know how happy their fans are that they're continue to winning games, but it looks like they continue to fight. They're looking to continue to play hard for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. I will say, in less depressing news, we at least got to watch Jameis Winston play football for the New York Giants. And I feel like this was the most Jameis game. Like, this was signature Jameis, where, you know, he actually keeps a minute, the offense is going, and then what does he do? He throws a critical interception in the last few minutes of the game. Like, is this just, you know, par for the course for Jameis? And then, like, maybe he gives you a chance to win, but Jameis giveth and Jameis also taketh.
100%. 100%. Like you said, it really was the vintage Jameis game. My big takeaway, though, too, is the Packers just, they don't look right, Chelsea. They don't, especially that offense. There's something up with Green Bay. So, look, a win's a win, especially on the road, and they needed one after a couple straight home losses to the Panthers and the Eagles, where their offense was abysmal. So they looked a little bit better on Sunday against a really bad Giants defense, but Josh Jacobs also got hurt in the game. So, the Packers, I mean, this was a team that was favored to win the Super Bowl after their week two win against Washington, right? They make the trade for Parsons, all this hype, favored to win early in the season, and This is a team that just does not look good right now. So they get Minnesota at home this week as a 6-point favorite. It'll be interesting how that game goes, with the Vikings losing another tough one to Chicago yesterday. But yeah, vintage Jameis game for the Giants, finding a way to lose. First game since getting rid of Dable. But the Packers, that was my big takeaway, was just another week where they just do not look as good as a lot of people thought they would coming into the season.
I think they were one of those teams where people jumped the gun and people wanted to believe in the Packers so much just because the big storyline with adding Micah Parsons. And plus, it's a team that's been pretty solid in the NFC over the last few years. It's just, I just don't think they've proved it for the rest of the season. And they do stand at 6-3-1, and that tie looms large, it feels like, against the Cowboys, because if it weren't for that, I think they would be tied for the best record in the NFC North, if I'm not mistaken. But they do have a big stretch where they can change things up, because they play the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears, all the teams in the NFC North coming up. So I don't know. Maybe I'm still holding out some hope for the Packers, because I do think there is a good team in there somewhere. It's just right now, I think I need to wait and see. And I will believe it when I truly see it for more than a game.
I would agree. Like you said, three straight divisional games coming up. We're going to learn a lot about the Packers. But yeah, I just, this is a team right now. We were talking earlier, you know, in the show about teams you trust, and it feels like in the NFC, Rams and Eagles, just because the way that the Rams are playing, Eagles, their track record, winning the Super Bowl, we've seen them win plenty of big games. I think those are the only teams right now. Green Bay, definitely not a team I want any part of or would trust at all right now.
Yeah, I don't really trust them. So I'll believe it when I see it, and maybe we'll see it against the Lions. They do have a big matchup Thanksgiving week. All right, coming up next, it's hour three of the show. Our biggest takeaways from the Eagles win last night over the Lions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.